Nacholand Podcast with David Amoyal.
Benvenuti, as we would say in Italy. Welcome to all of you that don't speak Italian. Thank you so much for joining us for the second episode of the week of the Calcioland podcast. So today at the top, we're going to react to the Champions League draw yesterday, right as we're recording. They're doing the Europa League. We also will talk, of course, about transfers. Monday is the deadline in Serie A, so we'll go over some hot transfer topics. Thousand Names just sent me his game picks for the weekend, so we'll, of course, cover those. At the end of the podcast, you'll hear available to all an excellent interview I did with my friend Maurizio from around Turin. We covered Juve. I figured we had taken a deep dive on Inter on Tuesday with Fulvio Santucci. If you've missed that, definitely check it out. That was a great interview. I figured today we talk about Juve. Next week, we're going to try to get to Milan and Atalanta. But before we end, of course, we'll have a part of the podcast for our patrons. Before we get to all that, we had the Champions League draw yesterday. I'm joined by our dear friend, Alex Goldberg, who's been very busy with everything going on in the Chelsea world. So, Alex, I want to ask you this. Was there a Serie A team that you were really trying to avoid in the draw? I think overall Chelsea did quite well, but is there one Serie A team that you're like, geez, I'm glad we didn't have to face them?
Yeah, Chelsea did really well. It wasn't Inter. I wanted to face Inter because I'd like to take... they're annoying to play probably, yeah, because it's Conte, but nothing would give me greater satisfaction than absolutely pummeling Inter. So I was hoping for Inter. Juve, actually, I mean, obviously, they're always going to be a good team on paper and stuff, and I'm not saying that they're an easy team to beat, but I was totally up for Juve. David, it's Atalanta. I mean, I still don't want to face that team. I don't care if Chelsea's team now looks a lot better on paper. There's just nothing about facing Atalanta that seems comfortable to me, and it just seems like they'll probably continue to have a chip on their shoulder for a little while because the club and the players are kind of a seamless fit where the club probably has a chip on its shoulder. Like, hey, we're really good as a collective team here. We deserve more recognition, whether they want it or not. You know, we're all human, so they must feel like, hey, we can compete with the best. And then the players are all players where they are good. Like, if you look at how long they've been good in Serie A or maybe where they came from, like, they're obviously no slouches, like not even close, very good players, but they're not marketed like the superstars. So I feel like they also could have chips on their shoulders. So that's what is so beautiful about Atalanta to me, is it really, like, the synergy there, the cohesion there is really impressive. And I don't think that's anything you ever want to face, especially when you know they can put 5-6 past you. So yeah, to answer this question confidently, David, I was hoping Chelsea would not get Atalanta, and they didn't. So happy about that. So just overall, what did you make of the draw for the Italian teams, David?
Yeah, and I don't blame you for picking Atalanta. And we're definitely going to talk a lot about them next week because, you know, what they've done the first two games, you know, it's hard to take them out of the equation for the Scudetto. So we're going to take a deep dive on that next week. And I'm not surprised you picked Atalanta. And I think that is the right choice. I would say overall, the Italian teams did well in the draw, probably not as well as Chelsea, but except for Inter, I think the draw went well. So I'll kind of give you my reaction to each group. We mentioned Inter has Shakhtar, Real Madrid, Borussia Mönchengladbach. Tough group for sure. I have to wonder if Conte sees this even more as an opportunity to just say, we're just going to go all in for Serie A. So let's see what happens there. But definitely a tough group for Inter, no doubt about it. For Atalanta, my reaction, and they got Liverpool and Ajax in their group. Why my main reaction is, like, I really hope they improve with COVID, that Atalanta fans can do that away match at Anfield. Atalanta's fan base, very, very passionate. They've, for me, it would be a great reward for how well the team has been doing in recent years for their fans to go to Anfield. And man, what a fun group that is with Liverpool, Ajax, Midtjylland. They're going to be giving up a lot of goals in this group, to say the least, but very exciting for Atalanta. And, you know, I think they have a, you know, let's see how they do against Ajax, but they have a, you know, decent chance to get out of the group. And remember, last year, we really didn't give them much of a chance to get out of the group, and they did. Lazio, I have to say, have to be thrilled how things broke out for them. They get Zenit, Bruges, and Dortmund. And, you know, we wondered how ready Lazio was going to be for the Champions League. They've improved their depth numerically. You know, we can debate if quality-wise, you know, it's enough. And I know some people pointed out, you looked at the players they brought off the bench against Atalanta and ask yourself, okay, can you really bring those guys off the bench in a Champions League match? But the group really could have been a lot worse for them. And for Juve, of course, we get Messi, Ronaldo again. So Messi will be playing in Turin against Juve. It won't be in a an Inter jersey. It will be with Barcelona, as we expected. So I think for Juve, things went very well. They've matched up well against Barcelona in recent years. Interestingly, you know, Pjanic will return to Turin. How many fans are there remains to be seen. So I think overall, Champions League draw went well for the Italian teams. My main takeaway out of them all is I wonder if Inter looks at this and is like, okay, let's go all in for the Scudetto. I don't think this group, as exciting as it is for Atalanta, they have enough depth that I think they can do well without sacrificing Serie A. So exciting. But speaking of exciting, the transfer window closes on Monday. We're recording this Friday morning. I figured to make it a little bit more fun, we are going to talk about some transfers, and I'm going to do a mini transfer rumor raider. I'll give you the percentage that I think some of these transfers are going to happen, and then we can see on Tuesday's podcast how I did with my predictions. So, Alex, which transfer topics are we going to go over today?
All right, nothing more fun than this segment just a few days away from the deadline. So let's get into it, David. Do you think Juve will get Chiesa over the finish line by the deadline on Monday?
You know, I have to say, I think there's a good chance that it will. I'm going to give you my percentage. I'm going to go 65%, and I was tempted to put 70, but it is a lot of money that Fiorentina is asking, although it probably will be on a loan with option to buy, but it will be a considerable amount. Fiorentina has put a 60 million price tag on Chiesa. I'm not sure if they'll get quite that amount, but I have a feeling Chiesa will be on Juve next week. Rocco Commisso pretty much waved the right flag on Chiesa last week after the matchup against Inter, saying anything can happen. That anything can happen to me also left it open to him joining Fiorentina's biggest rival, which is Juve. Juve was helped, and I have to say I'm kind of shocked that Rugani has agreed to join Ren. They are picking up all of his salary for this season, which is considerable. I think he earns 3 million net. So Juve gets rid of the backup to their backup center back, save a ton of money. Ren's also paying a little bit for the loan. I think what matters for Juve is saving, I think, what's around 6 million net on wages on Rugani. They will try to move De Sciglio. Douglas Costa is going to be known. He only wants to join a club in the Champions League. Let's see what happens there. I think Juve will release Khedira. They'll try to do it in a way where it doesn't hurt their financial statement too much. So I'm going to give a 65% chance that Chiesa's on Juve. Now, I am going to say I don't think this is a prudent investment for Juve. And you guys know how I feel about Chiesa. But aside from that, even if he was really good, I just don't see this as a huge position of need. If you really wanted to play someone at right wing back, you might as well just do Kulusevski than Chiesa, to be honest, in my opinion. I see Chiesa as too similar to Kulusevski. I think Kulusevski is a much better player right now. Juve is in a tough financial spot. They are essentially losing 90 million this year, 18 million on Higuain alone. I look at, although it's a loan with option to buy, Juve is essentially putting a lot of their foreseeable future financial resources into Chiesa. Not really a position in need. They don't really have a regista. They really could use a left back to help out Alessandro, the midfield. You know, to me, if you told me get Locatelli for 35 million, or Chiesa for anything over 50, it's a no-brainer. I think Locatelli, Pirlo has said he doesn't have a true regista. The team, you want a young Italian for the Juve thing, Locatelli also checks his boxes. I will say, though, Chiesa has been playing well at the beginning of the season. Maybe he's extra motivated for this deal to happen.
Very interesting. Okay, when David Amoyal says 65%, by the way, you take that seriously. All right, let's move on to one of our favorites. David, what are the odds Rugani joins Rennes?
It seems done, and I have to be honest, last night, you know, we were doing the transfer blitz, and, you know, we have a group chat on my team for the Mazza site, and I was telling the guys, I was like, I don't see any way Rugani's going to agree to go to Rennes. He's very comfortable, it seems, as a backup at Juve, has a big salary. He had a weird year this year, had a baby, also was the first Serie A player to test positive for COVID. I really had a hard time seeing him leave Juve. No offense to Rennes, definitely a different caliber club, but it sounds it's going to happen. And Rennes is really helping Serie A clubs because not only are they taking Rugani, they're also taking Dalbert, helping Inter. And you guys, I always tell you guys, kind of look at deals, you know, not in a vacuum. And this one's interesting. You know, to me, is it, can we say it's a pure coincidence? Rennes on the same day agrees to term to take two Serie A players on teams that are looking to move players potentially to make another. Maybe not. Maybe it was the same intermediary. I don't know for sure, but I'm just saying, to me, that's not a coincidence. Right there. So I'm shocked, but it seems Rugani has agreed to this. And again, Juve saves a ton on his wages, and that helps him further pursue Chiesa. Kind of look at it a little bit as how Inter moved Godin to essentially give the salary slot to Vidal. It's a little bit similar. Chiesa is going to earn definitely more than Rugani, but they're going to try to move other players to kind of get to that, to give them the salary slot. And with the loan, with option to buy, they can spread out the payment on the transfer fee.
All right. Chelsea might be facing Rugani then in the Champions League, as they did draw Reds.
Joy for Werner.
Wow. I just got very excited, actually. All right, let's move on. Would Itso be a good upgrade for Fiorentina's defense, David?
I do. I like this move quite a bit. This is a deal where I think kind of almost everyone wins. Torino's using Itso as on the wing. He's a central defender in a three center back defense where he's done well. Not so well last season, but he was very good this season. Before, Fiorentina used that defense. Giampaolo's using a four-man defense. This makes a lot of sense to me. Itso, when motivated, is, you know, I would say a blue chip player, close to it. I think if he was the third best center back on a team competing for a Champions League spot that uses three at the back, you can get away with it. So I like Itso. I wonder if this means that either Pizzella or Milenkovic are being sold, but I'll tell you what, that's a really nice replacement. I like the move. I like the move for Itso. So I'm going to give this one for 55% for Rugani. I'm going to give it 85%. I mean, I saw Fabrizio already gave us a here we go on that one. So it should be higher. So Rugani 85, and I'm going to give Itso 55 to join Fiorentina. And I will say, if that happens, that is one of my favorite moves of the summer in Serie A.
Okay. All right. David, will Napoli surpass Milan in the race for Bakayoko?
Man, did you watch that penalty kick shootout yesterday?
Wow. That was incredible. Woo!
I think a lot of our Milanisti listening are still recovering from that one. I have to say, at the beginning, I was before the penalty shootout, I was like, this is going to be Donnarumma's. He's going to win it for Milan alone. I did not expect it to play out that way. That was really something. If you missed it, check that out. So, on one hand, you could say Milan advancing in the Europa League, you know, helps them financially, but also that, you know, this ensures they have a lot of games, so they need depth. So on the surface, yesterday, you would have thought it was a good day for Milan's pursuit of Bakayoko. But Chelsea, as always, and I don't blame them for this, are asking for a high price on the option to buy, on the wages. So it seems like Milan, I'm not saying they're totally out, but it seems center back's definitely a much bigger priority. And Napoli are now in the race. And remember, Bakayoko had that great season playing for Gattuso. Now, they had a falling out. It seems they had patched things over before he left, before they both left Milan. But he performed really well for Gattuso. I do think Napoli could use one extra midfielder. I think Bakayoko would fit really well there. De Laurentiis and Chelsea have done deals. Sarri, Jorginho. Also, Bakayoko's agent is Pastorello, and ADL has gotten closer with Pastorello. They did the deal for Mere recently. So this one's intriguing. I could see it happening. I think this would be a good move for Napoli and a good move for Bakayoko as well. I'm going to give this one, I'm going to put Milan kind of out of this race. I'll put this at 50%. We know Chelsea are tough negotiators. So is ADL. So that will be fun as they haggle on the option to buy and the wages. But I think there's a decent chance Napoli bring him, and I'd like to have Bakayoko back in Serie A.
Mm. It did seem a comfortable fit for him, for sure. All right, let's move on to the bad boy. The true bad boy. And this time, this isn't Goldberg slander. It has been well documented by others, so I'll just leave it to that. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just Google his name. David, where would my friend Marcos Alonso fit better between Juve and Inter?
Okay, so I mentioned at the top that Ren was helping out Serie A clubs. So I think with Rugani, they are helping more with Chiesa. I don't think Juve is going to add two big salaries, Chiesa and Marcos Alonso. Let's even say hypothetically, Chelsea's so fed up, they move him for almost nothing and Juve has to pick up the salary. I think that's a lot. And I got to be honest, I think Marcos Alonso would be an intriguing fit on Juve because they kind of have that hybrid three center back defense that changes when they attack. And I actually think Marcos Alonso would fit that pretty well. He obviously played for Conte as a left wing back. He also could be an emergency third center back at Inter. So I think there's a very good chance this happens. As you mentioned, I think Chelsea's more than happy to move on from him. So I think he's a nice fit on both. Obviously, on Inter, a healthy Alexandro, better than whatever Inter has out there, not by a lot, but it is. So I think on Inter is a better fit. And I think with Dalbert gone, it wouldn't surprise me if he ends up there. So I'm going to give Marcos Alonso to Juve 20%. I guess it would have, the Chiesa thing would have to collapse and they would have to reach an agreement with Chelsea. And they do have a great relationship with them. And I'll give Inter 55% of getting Marcos Alonso. And I know you'll shed a lot of tears, Alex, if that happens. Mm,
I will. It'll be definitely a sad occasion. And just, I need to advise Inter, make sure you have very comfortable team buses. So for the second half, Marcos Alonso can take a nice rest. All right, David, last topic for this segment. Are Parma doing enough to avoid relegation?
Yeah, so shout out to their president, Kraus, definitely trying. I really like how he's been humble, accountable. I've liked what he's done so far. So Parma, he said, Parma, we're going to be very active in the end of the transfer window. And they're going for a lot of young players, which, you know, I like for the future. You want to build for the future with a new owner. But I'm not sure in the race for avoid relegation, that might not be the best strategy. And look, they still have a few days. Maybe they'll bring a veteran. But they are bringing in, they brought in defender Lautaro Valenti from Argentina. It's supposed to be good. They're bringing in Brunetta, midfielder from Deportivo Godoy. They're bringing a prospect from Juve named Caviglia. And I would say the jewel out of the ones they're bringing in now is Atalanta talented striker Armand Traore, who was also linked to Man United for a little bit. So Traore could be definitely intriguing, could make an impact right away. I haven't seen the other players, so I really can't say. I'm going to go on the assumption Parma gets a cherry on top, a veteran, someone that can move the needle. I still am surprised we haven't heard more buzz of Giovinco going back to Parma. So let's see what happens. But A for effort for Parma. They are making a lot of moves. You know, the race to avoid relegation in Serie A can be tough, and I do think you need some veterans as well. So let's see what happens at the end of the transfer window on Tuesday next week. We'll kind of recap it. So next week we'll recap the window, do a few fun segments on that. But now let's get to game picks with our dear friend, Thousand Names. This is dangerous because he just sent them to me, so haven't reviewed them at all. So we're just going to go raw with Thousand's Names picks. You guys know the drill. He sends me three game picks, and I'm going to pick against them. We'll read them both in Italian and English. So first up, Fiorentina hosting Sampdoria. Thousand has Fiorentina winning 3-0, braced by my man Kwame, goal by Milenkovic. And he says Iachini is going to cancel Ranieri from the history of Italian football. He says Fiorentina without Chiesa can absolutely take off because he's a ridiculous player and not in a good way. In Italian, Fiorentina Samp 3-0, Kwame Milenkovic, Iachini cancella Ranieri dalla storia del calcio. Senza Iachini, la Fiorentina può volare, giocatore ridicolo. So Sampdoria has been really bad to start the season. Fiorentina have looked pretty good. I'm going to agree with Thousand. I'll go Fiorentina, but 1-0, they struggle to score goals. And I'll give one to Kwame, one of my favorites. So shout out to him. Then the two big matches of the weekend. Lazio hosts Inter. Thousand Names has Inter winning 3-0. When I first encountered Thousand on Twitter, by the way, he was a big Inter fan. Now he's a Juve fan on Twitter. But on the podcast, you guys know how he feels about these teams. So Inter wins 3-0 here with a hat trick by Lukaku. And he says this is a passing of the guard for the capocannoniere from Immobile to Lukaku. And he says Limone Inzaghi, which is his nickname for Simones, calls him a lemon. He says he doesn't understand anything about football and that Acerbi is ridiculous and he'll get exposed. In Italian, Lazio-Inter 0-3, tripletta Lukaku, passaggio di consegne con Immobile per il capocannoniere. Limone non capisce niente di calcio, Acerbi ridicolo. So Lazio got their ass handed to them by Atalanta on Wednesday, and now they host Inter. Inter played well against Benevento. Man, Hakimi looks like an absolute monster. Hakimi, to me, reminds me a little bit of when Salah came at Fiorentina and absolutely took Serie A by storm. It kind of reminds me a little bit of that. So I'm going to agree with Thousand. I'm going to go win for Inter. I'm just going to go 1-0. And I will agree, my man Lukaku, all in on him this season. Last one, great game, Juve-Napoli. And so far, the Napoli players have tested negative. They faced Genoa last weekend who had 14 positive tests. So as of now, it looks like Juve-Napoli will go as planned. And Thousand has Napoli winning 1-0, goal by Koulibaly. And he says, Kalidou Koulibaly is going to leap over Bonucci and is going to make the Vesuvio erupt. That's a volcano outside Naples. And he said Sarri is going to be in tears celebrating with De Laurentiis. And he says Pirlo already can smell Allegri's breath on his neck. Thousand Names come through. In Italian, Juve-Napoli 0-1 Koulibaly. Kalidou svetta su Bonucci e fa ruttare il Vesuvio. Sarri in lacrime festeggia con De Laurentiis. Pirlo sente il fiato sul collo di Allegri. Sorry, Thousand. I like Napoli a lot this season. You've looked pretty good. I'm going to go a draw here, though. I'll go 1-1, and I'll give a goal to Osimhen, who has yet to score, but has been great so far, and Ronaldo. So thank you, Thousand Names. Really came through today. I always tell you guys, I don't know if I advise betting on these, so take them with a grain of salt. So before we get to Maurizio from around Turin, let's talk with our patrons. We've had a great month on Patreon. If you enjoy Calcioland, consider becoming a patron. For $3 a month, you basically get an extra hour a week of Calcioland because we do extra segments that are usually 20, 25 minutes, sometimes more, sometimes a lot more. And we usually do a bonus interview. This week we had my friend Gabriele Romano and I chatted about the transfer window. We have excellent articles as well, and we support a great charity. Basically, the money used on patrons used to pay our freelance writer cover production costs, and we make a nice donation to a great nonprofit in Italy, the Insuperabili. They have run camps for kids with disabilities in Italy playing calcio. Really, really inspiring stuff. So if you like the podcast, you can join really a great community of guys, get extra podcast articles, and support a great charity. I don't make a penny from all this, but it makes me feel really good that we do it. I have to say, one of my favorite things about doing the podcast is it has allowed me to get to know a lot of really cool people in the calcio world. And Maurizio, our next guest from around Turin, is someone I have a strong affinity for. Like me, he has a day job, has done much better than I have in the calcio world with what he's been doing with around Turin. We'll get to that. I think Maurizio is the only person this year that is launching a travel agency, but he's a great entrepreneur. We'll get at that at the end. But he's here to talk about Juve. Those who know Maurizio, he's based in Turin, does a great job hosting international Juve fans from all around the world. He is a diehard Juve fan that has traveled a lot for games, follows the team super well, but I also like he is fairly objective despite his huge passion for the club. So I'm absolutely thrilled to talk Juve with him. So Maurizio, it's been way too long since I talked to you, my friend. Bentornato to Calcioland. It's really great to have you.
Ciao, David. Grazie. Thanks a lot for the huge introduction with a lot of beautiful words. Thank you. And I'm also happy to be back and discuss about Juve.
Absolutely. So before we get to that, Maurizio, the last time I spoke to you was right when the lockdown was going on in Italy. You were stuck in your house. A lot has happened since. Obviously, calcio not only came back with the end of the 2019-20 season, calcio has relaunched now, but you know, there's a lot going on. Like Genoa's next game has already been postponed with COVID. So I like to ask you this. Maurizio, a lot of the people that listen to the podcast aren't based in Italy, but they love Serie A. They watch Serie A. How would you describe the situation in Turin, in Italy more as a whole? I know you have a big passion for the country. So kind of give us an idea, because last time in March, you were perfect telling us what life was like back then.
Yeah, no, I think, let's say the things have started to got better at the end of May. So the lockdown was basically released, and I must say we almost had a normal summer. Of course, inside the bars, restaurants, you had to use the mask. But beside that and other few limitations, I really say that we had a pretty normal summer, except for the tourism. But of course, we couldn't get all the international tourism, and this affected a lot the finance of the different industries in Italy, because we rely a lot on tourism. But now I would say, starting from the end of August, number of positive cases are starting to increase a lot. Slightly increase every day, but in the last week it's getting a little bit worse. So there is some concern about what will happen in the next weeks, especially looking at what is happening in the countries next to Italy, especially in France. They are having a very big number there. So let's say when we talk about normal life, we cannot exclude at the moment a possible lockdown, new lockdown, maybe less severe than what we had in spring. But probably there might be something else in autumn. So let's see. When it comes to football, culture, the situation is also evolving very fast. And mentioned Genoa Toro that will be postponed. So we need to check, honestly, day by day, how the situation is evolving. I don't believe that we will come back to the situation we were in spring, where everything will be blocked for months. But again, I would not exclude 100% a few weeks to put the Serie A on hold if something big happens.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's definitely something to keep an eye on. So Maurizio, you have been a season ticket holder for Juve forever. You've gone to a ton of games. The Juve Arena is essentially your home away from home. This year, it's been very different. I know you were one of the 1,000 people that went to Juve Sampdoria. So tell us a little bit what that was like. How was that experience like? I know you're usually in the curva. You're usually there with a lot of international fans. And Maurizio, for those that aren't familiar, runs really the biggest international Juve community, really a ton of people from all over the world. So tell me a little bit, what was it like going to that game with 1,000 people in the stands?
Yes, it was definitely a different experience because we were all sitting in the main tribuna, so basically just behind the benches of the players. And because of the few people there, we could really listen all the players screaming each other on the pitch. So this was something special that I never experienced before. As you said, I used to go in curva. That means that I normally watch the game standing and screaming for 90 minutes. So sitting basically alone with almost no one next to me was definitely different, and it's not the type of football I like, but I was very, let's say, happy to be there and witness this first game with the fans. What was funny, David, is that, again, you could really listen to the players, and there are a few things that made me laugh. For example, Cuadrado is always the one that is asking for the ball. You know, normally when you play football, you always have a teammate like this, and this is Cuadrado for us. even if the ball is on the other side of the pitch, he's always called for it. Amazing. No, then another thing that was funny was at the end of the game, but still, let's say 5 minutes left, the ball went out, and Chiellini was going to get the ball, to put it on the pitch with the hand. And the ball arrived to Ranieri, Sampdoria's coach. So Chiellini made a joke around him and say, "Are you still able to touch the ball with your feet or not? Show me. And then Ranieri gave him the ball with a nice touch with the feet. But these kind of things that normally from TV you cannot see, but I'm pretty sure that are pretty common every Sunday at the stadium.
Absolutely. Well, for your sake, I hope you can go back to doing the amazing things you do with the international community. So let's talk a little bit about Pirlo. This obviously came a little bit out of left field. It definitely was a vibe that with Sarri, things weren't working out with the main players on Juve. We've seen a little bit of Pirlo in these matches. So tell me, in general, what was your reaction to the idea that Juve would hire a Pirlo, and what's your impression on what you've seen so far, Maurizio?
Yes, to be honest, I was extremely surprised and couldn't believe it at first. I couldn't believe that we were putting the nine times Serie A winner in the hands of someone that didn't coach for a single game. But then, of course, with the time, you start to realize also the reason why it was like that. Still believe it's a big bump from Juventus. But it also gives an idea about the direction the club want to take. Also very evident, I would say, 1 year and Sarri was gone. I mean, this is also a clear sign that probably the management understood that it wasn't the right path, and they decided to immediately change the direction. So let's see. What I've seen so far is a mix of feelings, because again, there is a lot of excitement between the players, you can see it, but also between the fans, and me as well. I'm very excited to have Pirlo now as a coach. But on the other side, there is concern about, especially for me, to see how we will react to an inevitable number of games where the results will not arrive. So that is very important, because he never coached, and he will have to manage a lot of pressure. He has never done that before, so everything is new, but he has to do it in a huge team like Juventus. Likely, we will have the support of all the environment, so that will help. But once again, David, like I said, in the first days he was appointed, it's probably the first season after many years that I start the new season without too many expectations.
Yeah.
Of course, when you are Juventus, and especially when you start to play, you always want to win. But I would like for myself to be consistent over the course of the season, and even in the bad times, I want to remind myself that everything is new, and probably it will need time to do this journey.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. We're really going to know what Pirlo's made out of when there's a mini crisi or something. I thought the Roma game told us definitely more than the Sampdoria one, but I agree with you. An interesting gamble for you, Juve. Speaking of an interesting... go ahead.
Also, today, I would like to add one thing.
Sure, go for it.
It's a little bit strange, but this is the way I see. I believe that it will take some time for Pirlo to gel the team. And therefore, probably we will see a better Juve this year in Champions League when in February, March, we will have to play key games. Maybe by that time we will have a better football. I know we say the same about the other coach in the past. You know, we always say we peak in March. But the excitement around the players put me in a good, let's say, mood. While instead it can be dangerous in Campionato, in Serie A, because looking at how fast they are going, the other teams, like especially Inter, Atalanta, we cannot basically lose points on the way. Otherwise, there will be already a big gap to be covered. And that's why I believe that from now to December, it will be very important to do as many points as possible. Otherwise, it might be difficult then to recover.
Yeah, no, I certainly agree. This is going to be a fascinating title race. But one player that should certainly help Juve, and already has, is new addition Kulusevski. I've been a huge fan, I think, because he arrived in January. And so, I mean, Juve signed him in January, didn't arrive. But so much has happened that I really think that people didn't realize what an impactful signing this was for Juve. In my opinion, this is similar to when Juve bought Dybala from Palermo. I know some people have compared Kulusevski to Bernardeschi and Piaka, and that, with all due respect to them, makes me laugh a little bit. To me, I compare it to when Dybala arrived. So let me ask you, and you've seen him live in the Sampdoria game, what's been your impression so far of Kulusevski at Juve?
Well, especially against Sampdoria, he played a fantastic game. But as you said, you could see when a player has some potential, and you could see when he also has the mindset to reach higher targets. And I think Kulusevski could be one of them. But you never know, because he's still very young. He's now facing the biggest challenge for him to play for a big team. And luckily, Pirlo is playing. No, he's not putting him on the bench. He's having a lot of chances, and that, I think, will help him as well to grow. But still, I think it's premature now, a little bit premature, because we saw a lot of players, very young ones, that in the end didn't fly despite the potential. I also believe that he is a little bit different, but I want him to prove it, let's say. Even more.
Okay. I'll be a prisoner of the moment, and I won't let you ruin my enthusiasm for him. I'm a huge fan. I'm in love. It's kind of like when I saw Milinkovic-Savic for the first few times. I have vibes like that. So let's talk about the midfield, because this has been a pain point for Juve fans for a long time. So obviously, Pjanic, and Juve will face him in the Champions League. We're recording this right after the draw. So they bring in Arthur, send Pjanic to Barcelona. They sign McKinney. Ramsey's looked great so far. I think Rabiot's established himself this year. So tell me in general, what's your feeling about Juve's midfield? How do you feel about it? Do you think for the first time it won't be a glaring weakness on Juve? Do you think it'll at least be that this season?
Well, I believe that all in all, there was some sort of improvement. But in the end, it's all relative. And the relation has to be done with the type of, let's say, the style of game that the coach wants to play. That's very important. For sure, we have players that will be more keen to add velocity and ferocity, most important, into the midfield. And that we like. How this will fit into the ideas of Pirlo, I'm not so sure. We need to see and wait, because from all the reports we read, there was still the idea to sign sign an additional midfielder, big name. So if he didn't, if he doesn't arrive and it looks like that, then I wonder if this is what Pirlo wanted, and if not, how we will be able to fix it on the way forward. I can give you one example, David.
Go for it.
If you think about Inter was already a strong, let's say, competitor last year. This year even more, but to me, mainly because the management gave to Conte exactly the type of players he needed for his
team.
So for each position, he has one, if not two, players that play exactly like he wants. And we know Conte has a very stable way to play, the 3-5-2. So for this reason, to me, they are even more dangerous. I don't see, or let's say, I cannot judge yet this for Pirlo, because we are starting now to know how Pirlo plays. A lot of creativity from the midfield onward, with different defending module. If you attack or if you defend. So there are different styles. But about the midfield, I'm happier compared to last year, but probably we still miss something. But time will tell.
Absolutely. So let's talk about the attack. So this time, not long ago, it felt like it was going to be like the Lizzeco. There was definitely something with Suarez, and a lot's being made about that Italian exam, way too much, by the way. Neither Dzeko or Suarez arrive, and Morata comes back. Obviously, a player you're very familiar with. You've seen him live many times. So what was your reaction to the news that Morata can come back? Do you think he can thrive at Juve for a second time?
Look, I'll be honest. When there were all these names in the report, for sure, Morata wasn't on top of my list. That's for sure. But once the deal was done, I got something inside me, and there was a kind of excitement to see him back again at Juventus, because you could see it. I mean, he bleed black and white. He has a strong passion for the city, for the team. He has a lot of friends here. So for sure, he will give 100%, if not more, on the pitch. If you ask me again, I don't think Morata was the first choice. So once again, Pirlo will have to be good in adapting a little bit his style to Morata, because if it's true that Dzeko was really the first choice, as many say, and actually was very close to John Juventus, well, Morata is a different player than Dzeko. So again, Pirlo will have some work to do. But the good part is that Morata will bring tons of passion, and this will probably help to at least close some of the gap that he might have compared to big strikers.
Yeah, as you know, I'm a big Kulusevski guy. I think for Dybala, I think it's going to work out pretty well. It depends how much you believe in the others, I guess. So I want to ask you about this. You've mentioned Conte, and you've mentioned, functional players brought in for him. And one of those players is Arturo Vidal, who he is reunited with. So I want to ask you, as someone who watched all their time together at Juve, and I think, there was a lot of affection for Bo for a while, maybe not so much now. So what's your reaction when you see Conte coaching Vidal at Inter?
Vidal to Inter is not worse than Conte to Inter to me. So what happened last year was already a big punch in the face. Vidal comes to Inter at the end of the career. It will for sure add a lot to the team. But to be honest, I learned in the last years more and more that I will difficultly get attached in a big way to players, because really they come and go. For a number of reasons, they can change the team in 2 minutes. So I prefer to be a little bit colder from this perspective. For Conte was a little bit different for me because, you know, the stadium, we were coming back after a number of years.
Yeah.
A lot of things. And Conte was, let's say, the symbol of the reborn of Juventus.
Absolutely.
Vidal played an important role, but to me, what see Conte at Inter was worse, for sure.
Okay. So let me ask you, who concerns you more? I have to say, watching Atalanta put up 8 goals or what is it so far this season against, you know, Lazio away. Torino's not very good, but Lazio away. Who scares you more, Inter with Conte or the way Atalanta goes about their business?
I think in the long run, it will be Inter. They have a wider team. Even Atalanta, to be honest, last season proved to be strong until the end. But beside Ilicic missing the last few games, they basically always played with the same 13-14 players. I think Inter also playing, you know, every 3-4 days and having a wider squad, it will be more dangerous. Then, if it doesn't turn to be Juventus, of course, I don't want to be Inter, so I will cheer for Atalanta eventually.
Yeah, I hear you. Okay, before we get to your travel agency, which I'm really fascinated to hear about, let's do quickly a few over-unders. You know the rules by now. Let's start with a clean sheet. So we have a Szczęsny. Last season, he had 11 clean sheets. He has 1 clean sheet so far. So I'm going to set the over-under at 11.5. So essentially, to go over, he's going to need 11 more clean sheets in the next 36 games. Do you think he'll do it? Do you believe in Szczęsny's and Juve's defense this season?
I say under.
Oh.
Under because I see that there is an increasing number of goals in all the Serie A games. We change module. We have a new young in the team. So I think it will be a more funny season and we will get less games with clean sheet.
Okay. And you're completely opposed to the idea of involving Demiral and Adir for Chiesa, right? You're completely against that.
Absolutely. Yeah. That would be a tremendous error for me.
I agree.
I don't even want to comment on this. I'm very strong in that position. Demiral must stay.
I agree. All right, next up, Ronaldo. So last year had 31, and man, was he great in that match against Roma, not just scoring-wise. He has 3 already, but 31 was a lot last season. So I'm going to set the over-under at 27.5. So essentially, he needs 25 goals in these next 36 games to go over. Do you think he'll do that?
No, I say under because I expect less penalties this season, and he had quite a lot last season. Plus, we have more solutions in attack this year with Dybala, Morata, and Kulusevski. And also with Ramsey, that we get more playing time and we'll be able to attack more. So I say under.
Okay, wow. All right, next up, Dybala. Last season finished with 11. I'm going to set the over-under at 10.5. So essentially, to go over, he holds serve last year. How do you feel about Dybala this year?
No, in this case, I say over. I think he will have more chances this season. Because between Kulusevski and Morata, in the end, he's the most experienced one of Juventus in this phase of the career, of course. So I think we get more playing time, and with Kulusevski providing a lot of assists, I'm pretty sure he will do well.
Okay, I like it. All right, last one, Morata. And again, all these were just Serie A. If I set the over-under at 8.5, he needs to get to 9. Do you think he will or no?
No, I say under for Morata. Morata normally doesn't score a lot. He will have some goals, of course, but I'm not so sure he will have plenty of playing time. So I would say under.
Okay. Wow. I have to say, don't sound as optimistic as usual, but I mentioned you are very objective, which is why I'm so glad you're here. Okay. So now let's talk a little bit about what you've been doing with Around Tour. And so real fast for people not familiar with what this is an unbelievable online community of Juve fans from all over the world. Maurizio has hosted fans from all over the world at Juve Stadium before and after the game. Really great. I've been a few times, does a great job. What I love is what an ambassador he is for the city of Turin and Italy as well. And you're taking this a step further now, Maurizio. And I have to say it's bold in this year of COVID with the travel agency, but I think it's very smart. So tell us a little bit how you are evolving Around Turin and how the travel agency fits into that.
Yeah, it was a natural step for me to do this, new step in this journey. As you say, the Around Turin is now actually 7 years that I'm running this community. And now we count more than 2 million followers in the different social media platforms. And the main part was getting the fans coming to Turin and experience something special that we would remain forever in their mind, because they actually do something special. They meet many fans from around the world. They become friends. You know, they eat and they drink. They do something that normally local people in Turin do. So they really see another value. So I thought that it was the time to think about the next step. And the next step is really to offer even more services. That's why I put together this travel agency. As you say, that I'm probably the only one opening a travel agency in 2020. But the best part is that, to be honest, everything was almost there. I mean, I didn't have to do so many new things. As soon as the Serie A will reopen the doors to fans or Champions League as well, I will be ready to host everybody who is traveling to Turin and provide them different services like hotel, transport, transfer from airport to the city, events in Turin, or even day tours at the beach or at the Alps. So many things that are now in the portfolio of Around Turin, and I'm happy to share these with all the fans.
Absolutely. And guys, I can't recommend it enough. I really have so much respect for all the effort and the work Maurizio does with this. I've said it many times. I wish every top team in Italy had the equivalent of what you're doing. Really, really great stuff. So definitely support Maurizio's work. Ton of coverage of Juve on the Around Turin account, site. Great, great stuff. I know right now there's kind of a vacuum in the world of Juve fan news on Twitter, and this is the place that I recommend. And if you can travel to Italy the minute you can, I cannot recommend this enough. Even if you're not a Juve fan, you'll really have a great experience there. So Maurizio, I can't thank you enough. It was fantastic catching up with you, my friend. I hope to see you soon in person. And if not, we'll have to chat calcio on the podcast. But I look forward to having you again very soon.
Absolutely, David. Thanks a lot. And for sure, we will meet soon. I'm pretty sure about that.